You want a list of some CDs?
Please, compact disc blow. People were not meant to hear music with such clarity. People need to hear snaps and pops and that shit.
What is that?
This, my friend, is the only modern piece of equipment I will touch.
Is it a CD player?
No, It's a mini Victrola, and it allows me to listen to the only decent music ever committed to vinyl.
Vinyl?
Yes.
Is it a DAT player?
Jesus, just listen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a mini episode of Pod Stallions. I am Jason, and to my right is Brian.
Hello, everybody.
And you're probably not used to hearing my voice first, but that's because we're doing a mini episode. When it's the big main episode, you hear Brian first. Now it's a mini, you hear me. I don't know what that means, but I won't take it personally.
It means the minis are better done.
Oh, I like that. And so we had such fun doing the last episode that we did about Tom Baker, and we got such great response, and we're trying to get back on a pretty regular schedule of doing this stuff, that we immediately thought, hey, let's do another mini. And we thought, what better topic to tackle so soon to the event, but let's do Record Store Day. Let's talk about Record Store and records in general.
Yeah.
Because... We just had Record Store Day worldwide, but it was on Saturday, the 22nd. And I am not a collector of vinyl. I'm a collector of certain things or certain albums that I need to get, or that's a first pressing or, you know, whatever.
But would call yourself an audiophile.
Definitely an audiophile. Yeah. Definitely an audiophile. I'm a music freak. But not so much, vinyl, because it's a dangerous road for me to go down.
Vinyl.
And if anything has proven that, it's this year's Record Store Day, because not only was I there on the day, not only did I have another friend find something at his Record Store Day, I also have gone back to Amoeba. Here in Hollywood, I've also gone back twice now to see what remnants there were that I might have missed.
You're like Ray Milland in The Lost Weekend. You're a collector.
All of a sudden,
and
it was.
It doesn't matter
What happened this year is I looked at the list. Like last year, I looked at the list. 2 years ago, I looked at the list, and the thing that jumped out at me was the UK list, some stuff on the UK record
store
day.
The UK list is like the grass is greener.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
And a couple years ago, it was a set of Small Faces French EPs that came out on records. And my buddy Malcolm in London managed to get to a record store and got the last set on the day. So it's one of my prized possessions. Last year, I think I picked some stuff up. I didn't go on the day. This was the first year that I went on the day, and
I think
honestly, I was
pushing you to do that, right?
Well, you were. I mean, I was kind of pushing myself because I looked at the list, and suddenly there were like 10 things, and I honestly kind of thought, well, I don't need to get there, you know, at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. There's some stuff that I want, but I figure, you know, some of the weird stuff that I want, no one's going to really care about. And if I get to Amoeba, you know, at 11:45, you know, noon or so, it won't be so bad, because they tweeted a photo of the craziness outside. The line went all the way down Ivar, which is the corner, you know, it's on Sunset and Ivar, went all the way down that street, all the way around the block and up Cahuenga on the other side of the building. So it was like old school, you know, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back movie lines with this thing. And that was at about 8:30 or 9 that morning. So I got there around 11:45, and it was still like an hour wait to be in line. And then, of course, when I went up to the big board, you could see how many things were already sold out. So this French EP set from The Pretty Things was sold out, and the McCartney thing I wanted, of course, was sold out because they only got a handful. Anyway, I just did some shopping, and the first thing I got, because I also wanted this, was the Crosley Star Wars turntable, the 40th anniversary turntable.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not a vinyl guy. I don't care that it's not like THX or whatever. I just wanted to get something for record store day. This is a cool little thing.
It's ornamental, right?
It's ornamental. It's okay. A fun thing. If you know, want to go up to a cabin or something, you can bring this thing. It's like a little suitcase. It's got the Hildebrand art on it, and it's the 40th anniversary of Star Wars. So to tie into record store day that way, I thought was pretty cool.
I almost bought a Ramones Crosley one, so I understand. I just
see. No, there you go. I think last year was.
And
Peanuts,
I'm not
right?
saying this from a condescending point, because I own a Crosley. And
right.
It started skipping and wrecking my records, and I actually said, you know, I Googled, and how do I fix my Crosley? And, like, the number one thing on Google was throw out the Crosley and buy a real record player. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like I simply don't have the space or the inclination to, like, get some super deluxe spangled. I'm knocked out how many people are, what do you call them, you know, vinyl files, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I listen to music. You know, I have become, it took me years to become like an iPod convert, but the random switch on an iPod to just let random music play for 2 or 3 hours, like I still do albums, you know, all in one. I'm in my car most of the time. I listen to music in LA here and in Hollywood. But, you know, for me, it's kind of like to put the needle that, like, I just am not in love with the turntable thing yet. I probably will be someday. But for now, it's more of having the physical you know, object itself. And then as a music freak, wanting to get stuff that's on vinyl and get it transferred to you know, digital, so I can have it on my iPod or have it with me anytime I want. So anyway, so I ended up going back the next day and found a handful of things that were on my list that I wanted, and half of the list wasn't available. But my friend did track down the French EPs from The Pretty Things at a different record store. But what was really cool about this year, I think, you know, we can agree on this, is some really kooky, you know, geeky stuff that that hit. And why don't you take it from there? Because you're the one who kind of alerted me to one of them, I think.
Yeah, one of the things that I wish I had. Well, it didn't matter because, first of all, my record store day was, I came up super empty. Mostly because I only have, within any kind of reasonable distance drive, one record store in this town. So that meant I waited in an hour with everyone else in my town, including scalpers and everybody else, to get in this store. All the record store day was in one single bin. So you literally were just like, it was Soviet Union style, you know?
Oh, my God.
And two guys butted in front of me, and I just didn't care. And by the time I got there was just nothing. The only thing there that was kind of mildly geeky and interesting, outside of the realm of stuff I wanted to listen to, is they had the Blackula soundtrack.
Nice.
Which is really cool, but it was $50, and I was sitting there going, I don't know, I can't remember the Blackula soundtrack, what it sounds like, and how many times am I going to pop this on? So
yeah, and can I just say, that's another thing that I didn't quite realize.
Yeah.
I didn't quite realize just how expensive.
Mm.
The singles are like $15 each.
Yeah, well, but you know, in my opinion, like, there's no more noble a cause than supporting an independent record shop. And,
oh, I agree.
You know, I walked out of my record shop thinking, well, I'm here every week and I spend like $10. So I'm not going to cry that I didn't buy anything. But And, you know, well, I pick through the back issues, you know, like what else he had. But, I mean, I always buy something there. So I wasn't
right.
terribly...
Right, and that was my mentality with Amoeba. It was, number one, and I'm not trying to sound like a big shot. It's not that. I don't wait in lines. Like, I am not... unless it's an airport, you know, I am not mentally capable of waiting in a line.
And I am not a line waiter myself. That's why I don't go to cons.
I figured, you know, the place is going to open at 10:30. Okay, so even if I get there and it's mental, I can go into the store where all the used DVDs were 20% off. They had some other stuff going on, and I'll end up dropping some money there anyway with other stuff that I want to get, and then come back later in the day or the next day or whatever. But I mean, it was also like, you know, 92 degrees. It was like suddenly the hottest day far this year. And it was like, I'm not standing outside to do this. And so with the smaller ones that were around that I could have gone to, I thought, well, you know, they're not going to probably have the same thing where like you can get in and browse while the line is going, because Amoeba is so huge that they can control that one line. And then people can still be inside the place and doing some shopping. So I figured that was my safest thing to do. But you had picked something up and then saw that it was announced as a release, correct?
What happened was, and this is what I think I started the conversation with you about Record Store Day, is one of the cool UK things they were releasing, and you had no trouble finding it, was a double LP set in colored vinyl that was the audio adventure. So it's like a Power Records for Doctor Who, starring Liz Sladen and Tom Baker, that's called Doctor Who and the Pescatons.
Yes.
And I had just bought that the week earlier on Discogs. I joined Discogs, and I'm in love with it, and I bought it for like $7. So
it's so funny, because... You know, the only time I ever had that, I had it on cassette.
Oh, God.
And I got it at a... Do you remember the story I tell about going to that my first Doctor Who convention in Philadelphia? Yes, that's where I picked it up. Hmm. So it was a UK cassette, and that's the only version of it that I ever had.
I've never in my life heard it, and that's the beauty of this, is... my family and I, like, first of all, my philosophy on LPs and all that is, it's got to be something I want to just put on and listen to. It has to have that sort of, it can't just be like, I like two songs on this.
Right.
So I'm actually, even though I'm a collector at heart, I'm actually kind of choosy on my LPs.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I do break on is that, you know, Sunday nights, we will pop on a Power Records occasionally with me and the kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, like the last one we listened to was, I picked it up at Antique Mall, it was G.I. Joe and the Secret of the Mummy's Tomb with the comic and everything like that. And you know what's funny, Jason, is every Power Record in my area is no longer available at any Antique Mall or comic shop. They all have disappeared since I started gotten this interest.
That's because you got them all.
I honestly have like four.
You're competing against yourself.
Well, no, it's just, you know, because, oh, you're into those now? Well, they're gone. But yeah, that Pescatons one was one that I accidentally bought, and I was like, oh, it was a, you know, UK release, so I told you about it. And I think you ended up picking up last year's release, which was Genesis of the Daleks.
Yeah, so I kind of thought it was going to be a fairly limited release, but they still had some, because I was at Amoeba today, as a matter of fact, and they still had some. But yeah, and it's orange and green vinyl. So the Pescatons disc is orange vinyl, and then
there's only 2,000 of those.
Oh, okay. Well, I managed to get one. And then the special effects record, which, you know, it's a gatefold. That is like green vinyl, or the other way around, I forget. But what's cool is I remember the sound effects record being, you know, its own release. The Pescatons I never saw on vinyl, but I mean, I'm sure it was, because it came out in 76. I don't know when it got re-released or anything, but it's from 76, when they were like in their heyday, Sladen and Baker. Sound effects record, I think, was like 77 or 78. Because no, I think sound effects record, I think, came out with Genesis of the Daleks, which was 78, I think, or 79. And so they put those out on vinyl like around the same time. And the only version I had was the one that was offered in the back of Starlog, which was a box set where you had the sound effects record, Genesis of the Daleks, the single with the Baker photo sleeve, and then I think the worst poster you've ever seen. Like, just someone just literally taped the logo up to something and taped photos of, like, Baker and Davison, and then just took a picture of that and then cut it out on a piece of paper, and that was the poster. But that's the only version I ever had. So this gatefold thing is pretty cool. But when I was there, I found the Genesis one from last year, which is blue vinyl. So that's like the first Doctor Who release, I think, that they did for Record Store Day.
Yeah.
So it managed to, you know, was sitting right next to the Pescatons one when I went back later that afternoon. So kind of lucked out with that, which is, because that's pretty cool, you know. It's just fun that these things exist. I got the Fawlty Towers picture disc, which I thought was just crazy it's the same company. So whoever's in charge of this, I don't know if it's a British company or what, but it's really cool that they're getting this stuff out in the U.S. too. To think of a Fawlty Towers picture disc, which, you know, back when the show was, you know, going and like not long off the air, kind of, they put out a couple of albums of different episodes. They were like three albums or four, I forget. And I had those in a box set too, a BBC sort of little box set.
You know what? I think I actually lost my library card privileges for those tapes.
Really?
Yeah, I moved, and then I forgot about them. And I think I finally did return them to the library, but it was kind of...
You're saying you had the Fawlty Towers record albums in your library?
Yeah, in our library. And I took them out, and I moved or something, and I got put on their, you know, you're dead to us list. And then years later, I found them, and, you know... And I actually ran them back to the library. I don't even think the library has records anymore.
And your tab was $6,000.
Yeah, I think it gets to the point. I think I did actually have to pay when. Oh, yeah, that was right. My son wanted a library card. He was about seven. I took him to the library, and they're like, yes, you have $45 in overdue charges. And you got to show your kid you're a good person.
That is awesome. Because of your delinquency, you're now denying your child a library card.
$45.
Wow. You nearly cost that kid an education.
I forgot that. I totally forgot that.
Not paying.
And I just totally coughed it up and went, here you go.
I just think it's awesome that your library had these albums, because they were from like the early 80s, like 81, I think, or because there were two series of Fawlty Towers, and the second series was 79. I don't think they came out in conjunction with the show. It's just that the show was so popular that they eventually released these. And two of the albums, I think, Andrew Sachs, who played Manuel, narrates the shows because there's a lot of visual gags in there. And
I remember that. Yeah.
Really awkward narration. So there's like two episodes on the picture disc. So I snagged that, and then I found the Ramones, which you'll appreciate. There's a box set of Ramones singles. Like,
yeah,
77
I saw that at my store, but I have a problem with 45s. Like, I'd have to be getting up every 5 minutes to change them.
Right.
Ramon songs every 2 minutes to change them.
Yeah, and pretty
there's
much.
There's a convenient, like, the reason I like an LP is because it, you know, it's a long playing record.
Right.
You know?
And 12 minutes aside.
Yeah. Well, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's not so much about playing these as it is about enjoying the artwork and the packaging, and like, especially if it's a little box set, like the Small Faces one I mentioned from a couple years ago. It's like a, you know, a flip top, like with an, you know, an angle cut, and it kind of folds back and you can take the singles out of it. And, you know, I dig stuff like that. That's how the Ramones one is too. I dig the colored vinyl. Like, I almost got the Quatermass soundtrack.
That's
so the 60s. What's that?
That's neat.
Yeah, it looked really cool. It like was don't know if it was red vinyl or what it was, or purple vinyl, but, you know, I just was like, it's like $30. I don't know if I should take the plunge.
There was a Star Wars 7-inch I almost bought for $25, because I was there. And it's like, how many times am I going to pop the Star Wars theme on? You know? Like,
right.
And it was a beautiful Vallejo painting, or is it blue? Yeah.
That was one of the ones I wanted to get that obviously they didn't have. There's a Blade Runner, the Vangelis soundtrack.
Yeah.
Picture disc, which is gorgeous. But
the guy who butted in front of me grabbed that.
Bastard.
Yeah.
And then I got, you know, I caved because one of the things I wanted was the McCartney put out a repro of the three first demos on cassette that he did with Elvis Costello in 87, 88 kind of thing. And, I mean, I called Amoeba about it, you know, the day before, and they were like, yeah, let's look it up. And then she looked up and she's like, oh, we're only getting like 25 of those. So it's like, okay, well, that's going to be gone. So I know I'm going to have to get that on eBay. So I tracked that down. There's a Bowie set that is a reproduction of a promo thing called, it was called Bow Promo, they called it, which I tracked down on eBay. It's just, you're going to have to at a certain point. This stuff is not going to be there. But you've become a bit of the vinyl thing is kind of another hobby for you because you're not religious about it, but getting cool.
I have very strict rules about it, but those all go out the window with the used. Like the wife and I we're going through bins, we're looking through for albums, and I've been buying a lot of weird genres. Like you heard of Dusty, or is it Dusty Town? Or one is a Catherine O'Hara parodies are on SCTV. It's either Dusty Town or Rusty. She's a, you know, 60s filthy mouthed female comic.
Oh,
and I've been picking up her,
that's ringing a bell.
Yeah, I've been picking up her records because they're like $2. And my wife brought home an album from her parents' collection called Music to Strip By. And I said, I don't want to know why your parents own this. And she said,
I was just going to say,
she goes, why? Well, her dad's a musician. And he said, you know, liked the drumming in it, which I believe that's why he bought that. So, you know, we will occasionally put on, and I've started to collect strip music records.
Oh, nice.
And of course, the children's records genre. But, you know, the main point of vinyl for me is on a Sunday afternoon when there's nothing going on, I just put on a record and I either sit on my couch or I sit on my deck and I read a magazine, and it's just about chilling out. And, you know, I unironically love Neil Diamond. And I think.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, no.
We talked about this. Hot August Night is one of the greatest live albums ever recorded.
And it cost me $2.
And it cost you $2.
And
it's got a gatefold.
So many sexy
packaging
photos
as well.
Yeah.
Amazing photos. Yeah. I stand by that. There are a couple of tracks on that are the absolute coolest he ever sounded. Just shredding his voice.
Yeah, no, I used to kind of goof on him.
Incredible album.
I goofed on him in high school. I goofed on him in high school because, like, my mom melts at him. My friends' moms melt at him. But he's pretty damn good.
Well, you know what it was? I have two older brothers, and when I was a kid, my oldest brother moved into the basement because he was, you know, that dank sort of cool basement vibe he had going on, and he listened to Neil Diamond. He listened to the Beatles, but he listened to Neil Diamond. So, you know, this 7-8-year-old kid would come downstairs and like, hey, put on the Neil Diamond, you know. And so he was kind of, you know, that was his big thing with it. And then my brother Gino was upstairs listening to Zeppelin and the Who and the Kinks and, you know, all the heavier stuff. And they both listened to the Beatles. So that was my education, was these two older brothers that were into all this cool stuff that rarely met in the middle except for the Beatles. And so I knew all the Neil Diamond stuff, like when the new stuff came out, and much more than a 7 or 8 year old kid should know. But he's one of those guys that was never, there's an old, it's like, you know, always popular, never quite fashionable.
Yeah.
Like, he just
I feel you exactly on that.
You know what I mean? Like, he was he was huge, but, you know, nobody really, like, it was the first concert I ever went to was Neil Diamond. My brother took me when I was, like, 11. But yeah, so for me, it's more about packaging, or like the Monty Python album that I got with the signatures that we talked about, the autographs. Yeah. You know, that's like the first pressing that it is, that it, you know, transforms into that cardboard box that looks like the record collection. Stuff like that I find really cool. And, you know, poking around today at Amoeba, which was really interesting, just how many, like, the Mondo soundtracks now with the packaging that's different and everything. It's really a cottage industry now of, you know, new artwork being made for these albums, and
it's actually a great thing, because I love physical media. And
you like who?
I love physical media.
Yes.
And it's nice to go, like, we had chains of CD stores here. Sadly, most of them are gone. And, you know, they were honestly becoming the Funko Pop stores. And,
right.
It's nice to walk into a place and actually be able to buy music again.
Right.
And, I won't buy everything again on vinyl. I won't buy things for the novel. Like, you know, I try not to buy for the novelty, although, like...
Right. Right.
But I do really have a lot of things over the years that I've walked by and gone, I wish I had a record player. I wish I had a record player. You know, and by the way, all my records got destroyed in a freak accident when my bar fridge, somebody left the bar fridge open and it leaked.
Oh,
and, I lost, like, I was one of those guys, like, you know, my weekly paycheck, it was like 30-40% of it up until probably my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to have a really cool store in downtown Whitby called Rob's Records when I was growing up. And Rob had this cool band called Durango 95, which I didn't understand until I saw Clockwork Orange. And, you know, I would buy things he told me to buy. And so I had a pretty cool and eclectic record collection that is unfortunately no longer with me. And
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah, my Flash Gordon soundtrack's ruined, which is especially, you know, that was, I think, the first rock album I ever bought. I was probably 9.
Oh, that's awesome. Know? That's a cool tidbit.
Yeah,
that's good for you. And, well, you know, that's another thing. It's like, you see something like, you know, Troll 2 with a brand new cover of Mondo art. Like, do we really need the soundtrack to Troll 2? And yet, there isn't like a vinyl reissue limited thing for Flash Gordon, which always, stuff like that kind of surprised me. But I saw a lot today that was like, wow, I had no idea there was a following, you know, for that. Like,
I know,
like,
people
Monster
that collect...
Squad, I know we,
yeah,
there's a huge following for Monster Squad, you know, but there's two different versions of the soundtrack of the LP out, you know, with all different kinds of, you know, artwork on it. So, oh, well, here's one thing I did get. This is not a record store day thing, but, because again, like you, I'm kind of a sucker for the packaging, and it doesn't matter if it's limited or not or whatever. Like, if it's cool enough, or it's riffing on something from the movie or whatever. And there's a company called IM8Bit. I think they're called IM8Bit. And I forgot how I found out about this, but I did not know about it when the movie came out. They did a limited edition run of the Nice Guys soundtrack.
Yeah, you were showing me that, and I was kind of jealous, even though I love that film.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It is, you know how we talk about, like, you know, getting it right and, like, the period detail and all that?
Yeah.
So this is, not only is this a double LP, you know, the CD, obviously the CD, but this double LP, so you've got, you know, four sides for the entire soundtrack. The vinyl itself is like pink and like marble bubblegum kind of colored. And then if anybody hasn't seen the film, I'm not going to, you know, say too much that's spoilery, but let's just say that the very beginning of the film involves, 1977 style, centerfold in an adult magazine. Well, when you open the gatefold up, it's that centerfold, but it's in 3D. And inside one of the sleeves, you've got a pair of 3D glasses, which also say a Savage Sid Shattuck production, which is the name of the porno producer in the film.
I thought his name was Hat Rack.
Or Hat Rack. No one's called Hat Rack. I love that. God, I just watch that movie every day. And then what was really cool with mine, well, not only that, but the front of the LP is like artwork of a woman's mouth. And there's this, a bit, you know, the adults-only kind of paper that would go over magazines?
Yeah.
That is slipped over the front of the LP as well. So then when you look in one of the other sleeves, it's supposed to have one of four, I think, four. They made four or five different double-sided original art posters of fictitious pornographic films that Sid Shattuck would have made in that universe of the movie. And there's supposed to be one double-sided poster in each of these. Well, mine had two, and it's the same poster, but I've actually managed to get a little frame for the poster. It's not too raunchy, but framed it and put it on the wall for this fake Sid Shattuck porn. I mean, that to me, I would drop the I would drop the $70 for something like that, and it's totally sold out. I don't know what the run was, but it was, I think it went pretty fast.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of thing that also came with a business card. It also comes with the nice guy's business card with the two of them on it and the phone number and stuff. So that's the kind of stuff I dig.
Yeah.
And I wish they'd do more of that for Record Store Day, but I dig the colored vinyl and,
As much as that is cool and I would love to own that, I think all that, you're talking the Troll 2 soundtrack. Once I get into just buying things for the novelty, I'm going to have a problem. And
well, there's that too.
That's why I have that rule, is you got to listen to this. I will buy kids LPs. I do want to have a complete run of Power, and I do want any, geeky soundtrack things. I have a Japanese album, a book and record set for UFO. I have a French Battle of the Planets one that only half of my family can enjoy.
That's pretty cool. Do you have the capability of burning onto digital?
Yeah, absolutely.
Vinyl?
Yep.
You do?
Oh yeah.
Oh man,
All I have to do is plug a thumb drive into my turntable.
I would kill someday to get those Power records on CD.
Well, they're all on YouTube, right?
Yeah, but you can't drive around in the car with them.
Well, that's true. I'd be happy to do that. I don't have...
Well, I mean, that does, someday before I die, there's no logic.
Well, I'll pencil that in.
But I think it's cool that you guys do the family thing and that you do... That you're like, we're going to listen to that. I think that's really cool.
The whole thing started when my church around the corner had a rummage sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to it, and it was pretty dismal. Mm-hmm. Other than running into a whole bunch of people I either got in fistfights with their kids or just people from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the Sesame Street record. And the kids were both into Sesame Street, and they were like, what is that? And I was like, oh my God, you don't know what a record is. So I bought it. It was a quarter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I brought it home. And then the only turntable in the house that was functioning at the time was my Battle of the Planets turntable.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as you can imagine, is just quadraphonic. And
awesome, though. I'd love to hear it.
I played a record for the kids, and they were just mystified. And that's kind of where that started with me.
Yeah.
And then, of course... one of the things that my wife and I have always wanted to do is do a whole wall of weird record covers in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Just oddballs. And I mean, we'd always dig through the bins at any flea market, thrift store, because you'd start giggling at some of these terrible ideas that these guys did for covers,
Right.
And so that's kind of where the interest originated, and it just hasn't... It hasn't ceased. I love the whole ritual, like I said, and I love soundtracks too. So somebody, I was at one show, it was a Dismal Toy Show a few years ago, and somebody had the Space 1999 soundtrack, you know, the Barry Gray. And I bought it for $10. And, you know, I would sit in my office and put it on that Battle of Planets record player. And it was surprisingly good music. You know,
I got to say, I opened up the Crosley, the little Star Wars thing, and just, you know, suddenly realized, oh, you know, I've got some vinyl sitting around here. Like, I've got the Python. They put out a, you know, deluxe set of, like, a box set of all the albums, you know, with bonus, you know, tracks and everything on this set. And then inside there was a vinyl version of the flexi disc that was given away with New Musical Express in 74. Again, you can hear this on YouTube, basically. But I'd never played it. Like, I never was able to play the vinyl version of this giveaway single in this format, in this version. So I popped that on and just some other stuff I kind of had laying around. I also had, I don't know if you know, we ever talked about this, because we did a thing on the Monkees, but I don't know if this was a Record Store Day thing. Do you know about the thing they released, like, a few years ago, where it was the reproductions of the four records that came on the back of cereal boxes, the Kellogg's?
No.
Oh, yeah. They're like cardboard.
I had a Bobby Sherman one like that.
Yeah, they look like they came right off the back of the cereal box. And, you know, the grooves are in the, you know, in the cardboard, basically.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, two or three of them are the TV version of the song that hadn't been released or something, like a different mix
Do you remember Mad Magazine would give a record occasionally?
And it was like a flexi. Like, you had to put a penny in the middle or a nickel in the middle of the thing.
Making Out. And you had to put a quarter
on it. I remember that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you put a quarter, like, in the middle, and it would always slip, it would always slide. Yeah, I remember Starlog giving away flexi discs that had TV themes and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they had, like, a Star Wars, like, one that did Twilight Zone, Star Wars, almost like a medley that was in this issue. You know, and then stuff in cereal boxes, and, you know, I remember the flexi disc. But a lot of the musical papers in the UK would give a special mix or single or something away. But and that was it. We just wanted to we thought, in honor of Record Store Day, which we both support, and I certainly put through college this year, Record Store Day.
and I bought nothing.
But your heart was, you were there in spirit. You're there every other week.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest with you, I did have a short list of things I wanted, and they just weren't available at my local record shop. So what can you do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I went in today and expecting little to nothing, and there was the Ramones box set of singles.
I seem to have inspired more purchases than you, so.
Yeah, clearly. You were sending me that vibe. And then the rest I've kind of, you know, picked up on eBay now, because it's like, you know, well, got to get it, you know. That's one aspect of it that is a drag. Even the guys I talked to at Amoeba that day, and that was like at noon by the time I got there, and I was just asking, like, so what's going to happen when the line dies down? Will then stuff get sifted through the store again? And they were just, you know, making chit chat, and they were like, yeah, I'd say 60%, 70% of that line are flippers.
Oh, that's the one thing. Last year I went, and I wasn't in the best of moods when I went.
Mm-hmm.
The record store I went to had changed. They changed hands this year, and they did that bin. But last year they were so small that you had to shuffle through this section, and they had all the records on a wall. And the two people in front of me were scanning every barcode and looking at every record and basically looking to see if anything was valuable. And all I wanted was a Flaming Lips 7-inch that I could see.
Right.
And about 25 minutes of this, I just went and I gently moved them both with my arm. And I am a large man who can do these sort of things. And I said, excuse me. And I grabbed the record and I walked away.
Good for you.
Because I just, you know, I just had it with them. And then I believe it or not, that same day, that, you know, the beautiful thing is record stores have sales. The one purchase I made that day wasn't my favorite purchase of the day. It was the soundtrack to a semi-obscure AIP film called Wild in the Streets. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah, with, what's his name? He disappeared.
Yeah, Christopher Jones.
Christopher Jones.
And Richard Pryor. And
Richard Pryor.
I love Wild in the Streets, but I love the soundtrack. And it had been sitting there for years in this record store. And I always said, well, you know, I got to get a turntable. I want this record. And, of course, it was on sale, and the owner of the record store had passed away that year. So I knew.
Oh, right. I remember this. Yeah.
I knew that if I don't buy it right now, I'm never going to get it. And
right.
I love that soundtrack to this day. I play it all the time. So, you know, even though I didn't buy a heck of a lot, that is my single record store day purchase is a Flaming Lips 7-inch. But I've gone to three of them.
But yeah, I mean, you know, or we get stuff, you know, like you'll see it in the bins like 6 months later, like, oh, that's from that, you know.
Yeah.
Like there is stuff you kind of, you know, run into. It seems like it's getting more expansive as the years have gone on, like more colored vinyl, more, you know, just more like, oh, this is the first time it's ever been in one, like the Bowie thing.
Yeah.
This thing is really, really cool. It's like a reproduction of a promotional thing that got sent out back in 71 or 72, which has some cuts on it that are different versions that, you know, have been released throughout the years, like a little press kit, like stapled pieces of paper, like would have, you know, it's like they took somebody had one laying around for 40 years and the paper is starting to, you know, wither and so on. And then they just reproduced it in this box with like four color shots of Bowie, like before anybody knew who he was really then. Like that kind of thing, like that really gets me excited for Record Store Day. I mean, I'm excited that it even happens, but I love stuff like that. And, you know, because the original, you couldn't afford the original, like you just couldn't sell the original. There's one, a few that existed. So yeah. I love that kind of stuff. And,
well, you know, it's funny. I came home, I spent an hour, I bought nothing, and, you know, my wife asked me, did you get anything? No, I didn't get anything, you know, but I'm going to go back next year. I know I will.
Of course we will.
Yeah.
Of course. And then next year what's going to happen, I think the more this goes on, the more we're going to start seeing cassette releases, and then there'll be, like, cassette single releases, and then there'll be, you know, mini CD releases, like, all that stuff.
Do you want to know something funny? I think cassettes can go to hell.
Well, I'll tell you, they're coming back.
No, they're not. Because not in this house.
Not in your house, but they are coming. It is like there's something retro about it that people are digging, and now some company is like starting to make Walkmans again, the cassette Walkman.
My daughter asked me for a Walkman the other day.
A cassette Walkman?
A cassette Walkman.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? Four words. I got four words for you. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, I was there's something tough darts, little girl.
They made a cassette, you know, a repro of his Walkman from the movie. It's kind of cool. I saw it in the store the other day. It's kind of cool. You can not only can you record your voice and do it's not a cassette Walkman, but it looks like the Walkman he has in the movie, and it comes with headphones, and you can sync up or plug in your MP3 player, and you can play. So you can play the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtracks on your iPod through the Walkman and wear the headset, and you can feel like you're him in the movie.
That's pretty cool.
If I was a kid, I'd flip for that.
No word of a lie. 5 years ago, I was on a plane to Vancouver, and a guy next to me had headphones on, and just as we were waiting for our luggage, you know, he kind of brushed his jacket aside.
Right.
And it was a Sony, you know, that yellow.
Yes.
And it was he was an older dude. He was like probably, you know, pushing 60. And it was mint condition. And it was like, that's not retro.
No.
That's just not being and he flipped a tape in front of me. Like, you know,
awesome.
Flip over the tape, and it's like, oh, my God, how did you get that to continue to work? Because mine blew up in 1989, you know?
But that's, you know, I got it. There's something about the notions of mixes. Like, we all made mixtapes, then we made CD mixes and stuff, but the term mixtape is starting to come back into the vernacular.
Yeah.
And what it means to put something like that together and, you know, maybe on a CD, but the cassette thing is it's going to start coming back again. It's weird.
Oh,
but
you know what? I moved and I brought all my cassettes from high school with me because I have weird time, even though I have no way of playing them right now, I have a weird time throwing them out because there's a little bit of your blood in there.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. One of the greatest things, my oldest brother is not sentimental. And when he went away to law school, I was in high school. And, you know, just as we do in high school, you're coming into your own and you're getting into all kinds of groups. And I would make him these mixtapes while he was in law school and then when he eventually worked in D.C. and stuff. And it would take him, I'd come out to visit, you know, 6 months later, and he still hadn't listened to the entire mixtape, you know, or the next one or whatever. It took him forever to really get into something new. And I just kind of forgot about him. This is 100 years ago. And then about 4 years ago, he just, you know, very casually on the phone one day was like, "Hey, you know those mixtapes you made me way back? Like, do you think you'd be able to make those on CD?" You know? And I go, "Well, yeah, I guess so. If we knew what the hell was on them." I felt like I kept the list. And he was like, "Oh, I've got them. I've kept them all." And I nearly fell out of my chair. Like,
yeah.
Not only has he kept these things, he's kept all of them since, you know, the late 80s. He wanted me to then make CD versions of them. So he sent me all the track listings in the cassette, the liner things, and I ended up making these CD mixes of those same tunes.